Talk about becoming God-centric as compared to self-centric. And we kind of went through Matthew's the sixth chapter and focused on the 32nd and 33rd verse. You can go around. 32nd and 33rd verse. And so we can position ourselves with the proper perspective on how we approach God. That 32nd verse is very powerful because he said, God knows we have need of all these things. The Bible talks about God knowing what we need before we even ask. So it really doesn't make much sense for us to approach God about what we want. We need to approach God about what he wants. Are you seeing this? And so we approach God about what he wants, and we're now given an opportunity to seek him first. That's the only way we know how to do it, is he reveals it to us, he shows us. Then we're able to obey. Once we're able to obey, now it opens the door for him to do for us what we need him to do for us. Tonight, I'll start off in chapter 1 of The Lives of Honorable Men. This is our book, The Lives of Honorable Men. And I won't deviate too much from the book because this book, the author did an excellent job in writing this book. And so I promise you, your life is going to be changed. Things are going to accelerate quicker in your life after we go through this book because it gives us an insight, a more in-depth insight of government. Gives us more of how to participate in government. More importantly, the apostolic government. Now, let me define government. When you hear me say the word government, I'm not talking about the U.S. government. I just want to make sure we're clear. I'm not talking about the U.S. government. I'm not talking about democracy. I'm not talking about any other type of form of government, communism, Marxism, any of that stuff. I'm really talking about, you hear me say the word government, I'm talking about the apostolic government. Apostolic government is the way God designed things. With an apostle who has designed, you're gonna learn the culture of honor with Brother Davis, the functions of each office, a fivefold ministry gift. You're gonna learn the function of each office. And the apostle is not too much concerned about people. An apostle is concerned about heaven to earth structure, creating portals to where God can enter into the earth realm and we can access his presence. That's what an apostle is for. An apostle structures doctrine. An apostle lays groundwork. Jesus began to talk about there's no other foundation that no other man can lay, but that was laid by Jesus Christ. But the apostles and the prophets build on that foundation. Give you an example of an apostle structure and doctrine. You can go all the gospels, all four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you will never see Jesus tell anybody how to get born again. He tells them it's possible, but he never tells them how. But you go to Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10, Romans written by Paul, and Paul, every last one of us in here, accepted Jesus Christ based on Romans 10, 9, and 10, out of the mouth of Paul. So that's an example of an apostle structuring doctrine. Are you seeing this? And so this book, The Lives of Honorable Men, is going to help us learn how to begin to trust each other again. Begin to trust each other. Why? Because if we don't trust each other, if we don't have covenant, if we don't trust each other, then when God sends direction through a man or a woman and we don't have any confidence or trust in them, then we're not going to follow those instructions. And if we don't follow those instructions, and if we don't march around the wall, it's Joshua, if we don't march around those walls, the walls are not going to come down. Because the way God set things up is through apostolic government. God is always ready to do the extraordinary, but he will not do it out of order. I'm going to say that again. God is always ready to do the extraordinary, but he's not going to do it out of order. Are you seeing this? So in this first chapter of The Lives of Honorable Men, We have to redefine church. We have to redefine church. Well, last week we talked about why do we come to church. Some of us came to church because of what we needed. And we come to church because we come to get our word, or we come to church to get our needs met. And never once do we think about fulfilling the needs of God. And so church has to change. The author used Jacob as a great example of how that transition is going to be made. We have to understand that as the church, our number one goal is to open up portals into the supernatural. That's the church's number one goal, to open up portals into the supernatural. Because if we can't get access to the supernatural, then we cannot help mankind. We cannot give mankind access to the supernatural if we can't access it. Are you seeing this? Watch this. Unless God touches our spiritual eyes, ears, and heart, we will not be able to access the supernatural. So here we starting off. God has got to touch our eyes, ears, and heart. If God doesn't touch it, then we're not getting into the supernatural. You will not get into the supernatural on your own. Only God can touch, Ephesians, the first chapter. Only God can touch your eyes, your ears, and heart and illuminate them to be in the supernatural. Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians, the first chapter. Verse 17, very familiar scripture. This is a prayer that Paul prayed for the Ephesians. This is a prayer that we ought to pray for ourselves. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto us, you and I, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. All right, he's not finished. That the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope or the future plans or the future goals of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. A lot of times we misread that. We think it's talking about our inheritance, but it says of his inheritance. So based on what Paul is saying, there is some giftings, some graces that God has placed on inside of you that he wants to pull out of you on his behalf in the natural. But if God doesn't touch our eyes, if he doesn't touch our ears, if he doesn't touch our heart, those giftings, callings, graces will lie dormant because only he can access them. Are you seeing this? Go with me to Genesis, the 28th chapter. Genesis, the 28th chapter. Here in that 11th verse, you see where Jacob prepared himself to go to sleep. And he said in the 11th verse, he lighted upon a certain place. Now, the key to this, a certain place. I want you to keep that phrase, certain place. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took off the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Here is Jacob's first experience in the supernatural. His first experience in the supernatural happened to be when he was in a certain place, fell asleep, and in the dream seen the portals of heaven open with angels going up and down. Are you seeing this? God gave him access to the supernatural. God wants you to have access to the supernatural. You have to want access to the supernatural. You have to understand that there is a supernatural to access. This which you're facing in the natural is not it. Whatever you're facing in the natural, there is a supernatural counterpart that will take care of what you're dealing with in the natural. But you have got to let God touch your eyes, touch your ears, and touch your heart. And you have to let him give you access into the supernatural. Jacob allowed God to give him access into the supernatural. So his first experience, now watch this now, watch this. Jacob already, thank you, Holy Spirit. Jacob already had the promise. Because God didn't do nothing in this. God, all God did in the dream was repeat what he told Abraham. So he already had a word. He already knew what he was promised, but he wasn't illuminated. He wasn't able to access the supernatural. You can have all the words you want, but if you cannot access the supernatural, see, this is the problem with today's church. Today's church, we do not access the supernatural. We're good with teaching, we're good with emotions, and we're good with our two-hour session, and we paid our duty to God. But not one time have we accessed the supernatural. Are you seeing this? See, Jacob already had a word. He already had a promise. God just repeated what he told Abraham. What he told Abraham in Genesis 12. I'm going to make you a father of many nations. Your seed going to be great. Just like Jacob, Abraham had to access the supernatural. Nothing happened until Abraham accessed the supernatural. Nothing happened to Jacob until he was able to access the supernatural. Ain't nothing going to happen in your life until you allow God to give you the code to access the supernatural. We're going to find out how to do that in a few moments. Jacob was taken up into the spirit realm and given a dream. Now watch this. In this particular dream, he began to transact with God. He was communicating, negotiating, and having communion with God. That's key. Whenever you get access to the supernatural, it is not time for you to start pulling out your list. It is now time for you to get the mind of God. God, I want you. I want to know more about you. God, I want to know what you want. What will you have me to do? Watch this. When he was communicating, negotiating, having communion with God, the revelation of God, his presence, his promise, his provision, his protection, and his purpose were all made known to Jacob. That's very important. See, this is why we have to shift from just doctrine to revelation. What's the difference between doctrine and revelation? Doctrine is a basis of which you can stand on. Revelation gives you the power to walk. Doctrine puts you in a position. Revelation moves you. It's one thing for somebody to teach you a principle, but it's another thing for God to let you experience the principle. Oh, hear what I'm saying. Hear what I'm saying. It's one thing for you to be taught about sowing and reaping, but it's another thing for you to sow and experience reaping. Because God, what happens? God, you're giving God the opportunity. Listen to me, Nick. You're giving God the opportunity to escort you into the supernatural, because sowing and reaping ain't natural. Sowing and reaping is supernatural. That happened to take on the form of natural. Are you seeing this? Go with me to Hebrews 11th chapter. Hebrews 11th chapter. See, sometimes we get so caught up with our everyday issues and we forget that there is a supernatural, because we're so busy trying to deal with the natural, that we forget that there is a supernatural that will take care of the natural. And because we so focused on dealing with the natural, trying to take care of the natural, with the natural, that we sometimes forget that there is a supernatural, that there is an unseen world that's willing to change whatever we're dealing with on the spot. Watch this. Hebrews 11th chapter. Third verse. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now watch this last statement. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So that means that what we see was made by stuff we can't see. So if what we see was made by stuff we can't see, and we got access to that world that we can't see, that means it's better for us to access what we can't see to change what we do see. See, this is why Jacob needed the presence of God, because number one, Jacob had already got something that wasn't supposed to be his. Now watch this now. He rightfully got it. See, a lot of people think Jacob was a conniver. Jacob didn't connive. Jacob rightfully got it, because why? Jacob stayed around to hear. He stayed around and he participated in their agenda. He wasn't like his brother Esau, trying to go do his own thing. See, if Esau would have got the blessing, everything would have been messed up. But because Jacob was around, he hung around, and he stayed where he was supposed to stay. He wasn't trying to go do his own thing. He received the blessing. Are you seeing this? So now he needed for God to become real to him, because Esau was coming back for his behind. So he needed to be able to access the supernatural to stop whatever was going to happen in the natural. See, you have to be able to access the supernatural to put a halt to whatever in the natural is happening in your life that you don't like. And you're not going to access the supernatural on your efforts. Are you hearing this? Now watch this. Jacob woke up from his sleep and realized that God was in that place. See, every time, I always say this, never discount your experiences with God. What I mean by that, every time God comes through for you, you need to make a mental note, need to write it down, need to keep a record of it, because you need to remind yourself. See, because watch this. You have a lot of people this is one of the things that I believe. People who deal with doctrine with no experience, to them it's just theory. It hadn't been tried. See, this is why I don't let nobody come talk to me about something that they haven't got straight in their life yet. Because to you, it's just theory. Now, when you have walked it out and you are on the other side and you can show me fruit from what you're telling me, then I'm willing to listen. Because until then, it's just theory. Are you seeing this? So when he woke up and he realized that God was in this place, he made note of this experience. Because, watch this, information plus experience equals impartation. If you miss any of those, you're not going to get impartation. Some people want the information and run off with information. Well, if you run off with the information and you haven't experienced this, you haven't experienced what you've been taught, then you're going to be in trouble. You know what information without experience leads to? The seven sons of Sceva. Acts the 19th chapter, I think it is. When they tried to cast that demon out, oh, they did everything right. They did everything right. Oh, yeah, I adjure you by the Jesus that Paul knowing. Wait a minute. Them demons looked at him and said, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But why? Because they had no experience. They had only information. They had no experience. So therefore, the power was not imparted for them to walk in. Never discount your experiences with God. Because your experiences with God strengthens you. Every time Abraham had a breakthrough, listen to that, Internet. Every time Abraham had a breakthrough, Abraham would build an altar. You remember that? Every time something happened, Abraham built an altar. Why he'll build an altar? Because as he's traveling to and from, it will remind him that at this particular spot, I met God. God gave me access to the supernatural. Are you seeing this? Never discount your experiences with God. So when Jacob woke up from that experience, he was able to realize. Now remember I said earlier, in that certain place, he experienced God. The church, or where we meet together as a family, is that certain place. And so when we get together in that certain place, we have to be ready and open to allow the portals of heaven to open up. When we allow the portals of heaven to open up, ain't no telling what's going to happen in that service. Why? Because it's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about them. It's about him. And he is all about us. Are you seeing how this works? God has no other reason to come into this earth realm only to meet the needs of the people he created. So we have to open up these portals. We have to let God touch our eyes. We have to let God touch our hearts. We have to let him touch our ears. We have to let him give us access to the supernatural. Church cannot be normal. We cannot come to church with the same frame of mind. I'm trying to get a doctrine to change my situation. Here, I'm trying to get a doctrine to apply to my life to change my situation. Because now really you're back in your effort. See, until that doctrine becomes revelation, then it's going to be you applying it. Every time revelation comes, that's God breathing on it and say, now let me take you through this situation. Are you seeing this? See, that's the difference between doctrine and revelation. Doctrine is what God can do. Revelation is God coming and doing it. Every time we gather together, we have the greatest opportunity to cross to the other side, which is the supernatural. Every time we come together, if we get rid of our agendas, our personal agendas, if we get rid of our personal feelings, if we get rid of what we think ought to happen, and we come together only for one purpose, because we want to see God, then we can access the supernatural. And when we access the supernatural, we now have the right to hear and see things that everybody can't see and hear. Because Jacob was able to see things that nobody else could see. That's what kept him on top. He was able to see what other, that experience of seeing an angel, that supernatural experience, it would help him walk out the next 20 years of his life. Now, over the next 20 years of his life, he still had trouble. You know, he still had trouble. He wanted one wife. He had to stay long to get another wife. It's still, but God was still working his favor. But the reason why it took 20 years for him to deal with all that is because he had not come to the end of himself. Even though he had experienced God, even though he had experienced the supernatural, he still had not come to the end of himself. Are you seeing this? Watch this. God is about to take us from just normal, natural church to church unusual, filled with the supernatural. Unusual things happening. Things out of the ordinary happening. I mean, things that 1 Corinthians 2, and 9. Things that you had dreamed about. Things that you hadn't heard of. Things that you hadn't, things that hadn't even crossed your mind. God is getting ready to do things that they, why? Because we are getting out of the way, and we are just simply, as a people, coming together, creating a portal for God to come into the earth realm. Emphasis on brick and mortar churches is blocking us from accessing the supernatural. Focusing on numbers. Focusing on how many people in the congregation. That is blocking today's church. Eloquent speakers. Everything got to be in order. Everything, we got to do this at this time. We do this all the time like this. Holy Spirit say what? No, Holy Spirit, we got to do this. We got to do this, Holy Spirit. We can't be changed. We got to do this. And not even letting God orchestrate his own meeting. Not allowing God to dictate his own agenda. We got our own strategies. We got our own ways of doing things. And so, yes, we're large in numbers, but we're weak in dealing with the darkness in the world. See, we ain't gonna be able to, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. You better have more than that song when you start facing these demons. Here's what people fail to understand about Satan. Satan don't mind us having church. Satan don't mind us getting together. He don't mind us meeting. This ain't been in that. He don't mind the preacher. He don't even mind the minister, the preacher, giving us a word from God. But what bothers him is when we allow that stuff that we're hearing to take root in our lives and we begin to attack the kingdom of darkness. Somebody showed the church. They came with lesbianism on their mind and left delivered. They came with an incurable disease and they left delivered. That's when you see, Satan don't mind us getting together and having fun. You know how we run and how we get emotional. And ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong because sometimes the presence of God overwhelms you and you can't contain yourself. No, you got no problem with that. But when he overtakes us, that means his glory is here. That means he's coming to do something. Are you saying this? Therefore we can't put our focus on anything but Jesus Christ and him crucified. What the purpose is? Are we opening up the portals of heaven? Is the supernatural happening in our churches? Are people getting delivered in our churches? If somebody blind come, do they have the opportunity to see? Are you seeing this? Jacob woke up from the sleep and knew the transaction with God was in the spirit. It opened a new perception of God for him. That's about talking about these experiences. Once you experience God for yourself, can't nobody take that from you. I don't know what it is. I was in this situation. I ain't know how to get out. I ain't know what I was gonna do. I ain't know nothing. All of a sudden, I'm from here, and now I'm here, and I don't know how I got out. All I know is I can say only if it wasn't for God, that is an experience. When he woke up from that sleep, that experience kept him connected to the heavens, which led him to his angel wrestling experience. Now we come to the point, watch this now, we come to the point where Jacob has experienced the supernatural. He's seen them angels going up and down. So what Jacob said, if I see these angels again, I'm grabbing one of them because I want to know where they're going. I'm going to grab one of them. They're going to give me what I got to get. And he wrestled with that angel. Now watch this. The angel did something. The angel touched his bone in his thigh and caused him to be limp. What was happening in that particular situation is God was finally taking a last bit of himself, meaning Jacob, out of the way. Because he walked with a limp after that. So now he had to depend. Now you don't need no limp to depend on God. Jacob just needed a limp because he just wouldn't let it go. But when God, when that angel touched that thigh bone, it seems like we get disjointed, he'll be disgusted, but he wasn't disgusted. He was happy. Why? Because he had finally come to the end of himself. So now he know that he was able to access the supernatural at all times because he himself was out of the way. Go to Galatians, the second chapter. Very familiar scripture. Watch this. See, church, we have to have our church fusion. We can't have church as normal. Church normal is not allowed anymore. Don't you go to church expecting the normal to happen. Don't you go to church and expect your leader to get up there and do the same thing. You come to church, I don't know what's going to happen. All I know is I'm going to shut up and march around this wall. You see what I'm saying? I'm going to keep my mouth closed and march around this wall. Galatians 2. Verse 20. Paul is talking. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, where? In the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Verse 21, I do not frustrate the grace of God. When we get in the way, we frustrate the grace of God. When we get in the way, we frustrate the favor of God. God wants to do some things in your life, but we keep getting in the way. Because we keep forgetting that there is a supernatural that is ready to take over our natural. Whatever we're trying to handle in the natural, God has a supernatural way of dealing with it. But if we keep getting in the way trying to come with our... See, you realize you can take the word of God and stay in the natural. You can take doctrine and block the supernatural. Why do you think Jesus said in John 5:39? Search the scripture. For in them you think you have life. But they testify of me. But you won't come to me. So that was Jesus telling the scribes that they were taking the very law of God and blocking themselves from getting into the supernatural. So here it is. I have to get completely out of the way and allow God to do what he want to do. I have to die to my will, die to my desires, die to my agenda. And it's totally God, what do you want? That's the only way you can get the supernatural. Jacob accessed the supernatural and couldn't maintain it the first time because he hadn't got to the end of himself. But when that angel touched that thigh bone and broke him down, he came to the end of himself and said, I can't, because really, Jake was actually wrestling that angel in the flesh. And the only way that angel could stop him was touch that. Angel kind of dealt with him a little while. He said, man, you don't even know what. Boop, hit that. And he broke him down. Man, you have to come to the end of yourself. You have to come to the end of yourself if you want to access the supernatural. You cannot access the supernatural with your agenda. If you cannot access the supernatural on your terms, the supernatural can only be accessed on God's terms, not yours. Here's Paul, people want to know why Paul was so prolific and why Paul structured so much doctrine as an apostle. It's because Paul kept saying, I only am what I am by the grace of God. It's not me. It's God working through me. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He said, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And listen, I'm not going to get in the way. I'm not about to resurrect this selfishness that I've already took time to kill. I'm not about to get in the way of the favor of God. There are times in your life when God was moving in your life and you got in the way. And when you get in the way, because, see, watch this. God cannot override your will. He can't make you do nothing. So every time you decide to get in the way, what you're telling God is, God, hold up, I got this. God, I got this. God, I know you got me this far, God, but I'm going to take over from here. I see how to finish. Are you seeing this? Through those years, he experienced contention and strife, talking about Jacob and his family. And in his vocation, he used his spiritual connection in the heaven to overcome all these obstacles and kept prevailing in their environment. No matter what happened to Jacob, Jacob always wound up on top. God's hand of protection was heavy upon him and guarded him from harm until God brought him back to the negotiating table when he finally wrestled that angel. Deep personal consecration brought permanent transformation of life. He was deeply impacted by this encounter with God that forced him to stop living the life of the flesh with all its carnalities. When the angel touched the socket of his thigh, it had become permanently affected. His walk changed forever. His name changed forever. And his stature grew in the spirit as he gained favor with God and prevailed over men. You better let God touch your thigh. Do you get my analogy? You better let God help get all of you out of the way. You understand what I'm saying? God, get all of me out of the way. Get all my ego out of the way. Get all my pride out of the way. God, I come to church this morning. A pastor might do something different. God, help me hold my tongue if I don't like what's happening. How many of you know you got to talk to yourself sometime? Listen. I know for a fact that when Joshua came back to the children of Israel and said, look, I got instructions from God. He told us to march around his wall 7 times. I know someone was saying, what in the world is Joshua thinking? But God gave him further instruction. Tell him, don't say nothing. So in other words, Joshua was telling him, look, I need y'all to shut up and march around this wall. Are you seeing this? In the apostolic government, the number one thing, watch this, number one thing that you have to focus on in the apostolic government is you must be willing. That's number one. Because as soon as you stop being willing, it becomes control. See, as soon as you stop being willing, it becomes control. And God ain't trying to control nobody. That's why you have the culture of honor. Everybody's free to make whatever choice they make. You're going to learn the culture of honor. Adam and Eve, the reason why God put that tree in the center of the garden, he didn't put no barbed wire around it. He didn't put no briar bush around it. He didn't make it hard to access. He put it in the center because if God didn't give man a choice, then he would never know if man truly loved him. So he gave them a choice. It's called a culture of honor. So when your leader makes a change, it's not our position to question the change. Why? Because, watch this, we chose to be there. And if at that moment you choose not to be there, All you have to do is keep your mouth closed, get up, and leave. I don't understand why people won't leave and won't take everybody with them. You the one with the problem. You ain't like the changes. Won't you just leave? Every time somebody leaves, they got to take a group of people with them. They got to take an entourage. They got to take a hype group to hype their foolishness. Are you seeing this? Willingness is the number one component in the lifestyle. You must be willing. Notice in Isaiah 1 and 19. Willing came before. See, willing came before obedience. It wasn't if you're obedient and willing. It says if you're willing, listen to me, internet, if you're willing and obedient. That's chronological order. You first have to be willing, then you have to be obedient. You don't get brownie points for just doing it. That's another thing we get confused with God. You don't get brownie points for just doing what God says. You have to be willing. Because when you're willing, that means you love God more than anything else. And so, God, I might not understand all what you're doing, but God, I'm going with you. Willing. Not just obedient, but willing. You can tell somebody just obedient. Any of us got kids. You know when they're just obedient. They do it, but they pout and they doing it. They just making them mad. They just, I'm doing this, doing it. And you know their heart ain't in it. So it's very hard to reward them for being obedient and not willing. Is that making sense? The last experience that Jacob had with God gave him permanent, listen to this, gave him permanent access into the supernatural. My God. Do you understand the magnitude of that statement? Got permanent access into the supernatural. At any moment, Jacob knew he could access the supernatural. Now, what experience led to him having permanent access to the supernatural? That wrestling with the angel and the angel hitting that thigh bone and getting rid of all of him. So in other words, we get rid of all of us and get all of him, that means that we now can have permanent access to the supernatural. So now things that we are dealing with in the natural won't have too long to hang around. Because all of us out the way, it won't be long before God enters through that portal and comes into the natural and begins to change things. Whether it's on your job, whether it's in your home, whether it's in your family, wherever it is, once you access the supernatural in that situation, say, God, I'm getting out of the way. God, I'm gonna let you handle this. God, I'm tired of arguing with these people. I'm tired of all this. God, I'm gonna get out the way, and I'm gonna let you do what you want to do. That's called not frustrating the grace of God. And listen to this. The church today must come out of its dependence on the power of the flesh and self. The church must come. Dr. Thompson said something yesterday, and it caught my attention. Because now, what the statement opens the door for God to access anybody at any time to do anything for them. He made this statement. He said, no longer will man be a reference point for the glory. Other words, you don't have to say, I want a financial breakthrough, so I need to access Dr. Thomas' anointing to get a breakthrough. No, all you got to do is be open for God to do what he want to do. And the glory will come in. God will use men, but they will not be the reference point. You don't have to go to a Benny Hinn meeting to get healed. Whoever the leading demon caster outer. They got out there. If you got a demon, you ain't got to go to that meeting to get a demon cast out you. Because there ain't no man. We come into a day in which no man is the reference point for the glory of God. The glory of God will hit anybody and come into anybody's life that is willing to get themselves out of the way. We must be of the true circumcision. Do you know what circumcision really talks about, what circumcision really means? When men were circumcised as Jewish in the Old Testament, it was really talking about cutting away of the flesh. That's what it really meant, cutting away of the flesh. In other words, we're getting ourselves out of the way. Now, it really do that for a lot of them. A lot of them still stayed in the way, but it was a representation. Because in the Old Testament, they deal with a lot of symbols and a lot of ceremonial things and a lot of traditional things. But those things had meaning. It was supposed to be reminding them whenever men took baths, when it was a reminder that, hey, I am getting my flesh out of the way because my foreskin has been cut away. Is that making sense? We must be of the true circumcision and be worshipers of God in the Spirit. Watch this. On that last experience that Jacob had, he moved into God's camp. If you want to be anywhere else in life, you want to be in God's camp. Because in God's camp, there's all the safety, all the provision, all of everything that you need. Dr. Thompson took time with us yesterday in church to define the glory of God. I don't know if any of you know what the glory of God is. Okay, yes, it's the manifested presence of God. But when God's presence manifests, what really shows up? It's three things. He taught us this yesterday, and you'll never forget it. All that God is, all that God has, and all that God can do. So when you're in God's camp, you're with all that God is, you're with all that God has, and you're backed up by what all God can do. That is divine backup. Is that making sense? When you allow God to escort you into the supernatural, all your enemies will now become your friends. Why I said that? They will become your friends because then they're going to start doing things for you that they didn't know they needed to do. And watch the beauty of God. And in return for them doing for you what they know they didn't want to do and didn't need to do and probably didn't care about doing, God now turns around and got to benefit them. See, when you have enemies, it's not about crushing people. When you're in God's camp, you will have permanent access to the supernatural. You will have permanent access to his unlimited abilities. You will have permanent access to his unlimited thinking. You have to learn how to camp in with God. What do I mean by camp in with God? Practice the presence of God. In other words, throughout your day, tell him, God, I recognize your presence is here. Are you lying? No. Because he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. So watch this. If he's already everywhere, then he is where you are. Right? 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 But you won't sense him until you recognize he's there. When you recognize he's there, when you in a situation and before you jump out, you say, "Well, Lord, look, you handle this, God. How you want to handle this, God? What you want me to do?" Now you recognize it. Now God says, "Oh, I got somebody that's willing to let me fight their battles. I got somebody that's willing to let me stand on their behalf. I got somebody that's willing to let me to hold them. I got somebody feeling that finally let me do what I've been wanting to do for them." When you camp in with God, when you recognize his presence. Listen to this. We are only ready to be a blessing to the families of the earth after we have acquired blessing according to our birthright. How in the world are we going to get people delivered and we can't access the supernatural on command? See, that's why witnessing is such a tough cookie right now. When you go to talk to somebody about Jesus, nobody don't hear nobody know Jesus. But I tell you what, you start letting miracles happen around you. You walk into your office place, the lady had cancer. You pray with her, now she ain't got cancer no more. I promise you. Oh, yeah, I promise you. You're going to be able to easily witness around that area. Then you realize, look, every time in the book of Acts, hey, watch this, even the worst situations in the book of Acts, the church was added to. Ananias survived. After that, the church grew. After the seven sons of Sceva, them demons whooped on them, the church grew. Why? Because in Exodus, the fourth chapter, Moses asked this question. Moses said, God, how are they going to believe me when I say you sent me? God said, throw that rod on the ground. That rod became a snake. Moses took off running. God said, no, Moses, go back and pick the rod up. I'm trying to show you got dominion. He picked the rod up and it became a rod again. He said, now take your hand and stick it in your bosom. He stuck it in his bosom. Come out. His hand had leprosy, white as snow. God said, now stick your hand back in. He stuck his hand back in the bosom and pull it out. God said, that's how they're going to know I sent you, because of the miracle that's going to follow. See, we're going to turn this world upside down when you can walk into a place. Just little old me walk into a place. Watch this. Little old me. Because I'm walking with a big God. Little old me, I'm out the way. Walk into a place and things begin to happen just because somebody is there with the God, with the presence of God. Somebody is walking there in God's camp. Are you seeing this? Finally, then the church will be able to summon all her sons and prophetically align each one of them into their destiny. That cannot happen until we decide to get out of the way. We understand that there is a supernatural that's willing to change our natural. Dr. Thomas says something, if you're struggling with something and you can't deal with it, you can't seem to get it solved, that means you're in the natural. You need to go ahead and switch to the supernatural. How to switch to the supernatural? Get out the way. Get yourself out of the way. God, you know who gave the best example of getting out the way? Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat gave the best example of getting out of the way. Lord, look, they got five armies that's coming around to surround us to take us out of possessions that you had given us. Lord, watch this. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And the Bible says, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehazel. The Spirit of the Lord didn't come upon Jehazel until Jehoshaphat said, God, we don't know what to do. But our eyes, Jehoshaphat led a whole nation into the supernatural because he simply said, God, I don't know what to do. I'm getting out the way. Are you seeing this? We have got to understand that we can't be coming to church normal. We can't be coming to church thinking normal. Said, we're looking for the same old humdrum this morning. They're going to sing the same song this morning. You got to come to church expecting God to do something. I'm getting out of the way. God, whatever you want to do. God, if pastor won't get up and say two sentences. If pastor get up and don't let nobody sing. God, whatever you want to do, I'm willing to do. How many see that? We have got to transform this natural church into a church unusual, a church that is used to accessing the supernatural. You all have a wonderful night. I will see you all tomorrow.